Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with another Jason, Jason Moran, the Kennedy Center Artistic Director for Jazz. He's also a jazz pianist himself, and the curator of this new festival that sounds really exciting. It's called Finding a Line, Skateboarding, Music, and Media, from September 4th through the 13th at the Millennium Stage at Kennedy Center. Jason, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Oh, yeah, it's a real pleasure. Nice to see you, Jason.
Now, this is such a wild idea. We're pairing skateboarding with music. How does that idea even come up?
You know, in the 80s, I was down in Houston with my brothers and my friends in the neighborhood, and we all skated. And, you know, there was a huge push kind of in America for kids to be skating. I don't know, it was just a kind of an exciting time. But a lot of those skate videos that were being made in the 80s also had great soundtracks on them. Mm-hmm. So you'd hear a lot of punk bands. And every once in a while, you'd also hear like a really great jazz recording, like a vintage jazz recording. And like maybe one of the great videos was a video called Video Days with the skater Mark Gonzalez. And he's skating to the music of John Coltrane. And that kind of pairing, you know, for me who was just getting interested in jazz, it just seemed to make a lot of sense, and I never forgot that jazz had a relationship to skating that not only existed in that video, but, you know, as I would kind of learn through skating and through my experience as a musician, that there was a lot of parallels as well.
Which direction do you think it was? Do you think skateboarding got you into jazz through those videos, or were you already into jazz, and then that's why you really latched onto skating?
You know, the other component was the part about hip-hop also in the 80s was sampling a lot of jazz. Mm. So there was just kind of like this, there was, you know, like these stars aligning with kind of people identifying, or America identifying with kind of like the rebellious nature of jazz. I'll say that, you know.
Yeah.
I think hip-hop picks up on that, and they start to sample kind of really great music and refashion it for these new narratives. And that part made a big impact. So, but hip-hop was also being used by skateboarding videos, too. Mm-hmm. So there's just kind of a relationship with kind of like, I don't want to say, but, you know, like youth culture, but like, you know, ambition and striking out, you know, doing things yourself, making ramps and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, it seemed to make a lot of sense, you know, that I would kind of get interested in jazz. I don't know, most of the time when I was growing up, I would also be practicing piano and look outside, and my friends would be skating and riding bikes outside the house. And that would make me sad. So eventually, I just kind of gave up skating just because I got way more interested in piano. Mm-hmm. But I never got rid of the passion of watching skaters kind of perform, because it's a real, you know, it's a real subtle act.
So you said that, you know, you were watching them out the window, but you knew you had to put how many, your 10,000 hours in on the jazz piano or whatever. But the passion for the skating never went away. So then how did this idea, you know, take me through the process of where you're, you know, working with the Kennedy Center, and you guys are you sitting in a room, or you call them up one day and you said, hey, I got a great idea? Or, you know, how did that actually come about?
You know, actually about 3 years ago, I was doing some work at this place in San Francisco called San Francisco Jazz Center. And they have their own venue. In their first year, I was kind of one of their co-artistic directors. And I said, well, you know, every time I come to San Francisco, I can only think about skating, because when we would take, you know, family vacations there, my brothers and I would bring our skateboards. And San Francisco is like, you know, a skating mecca. And,
all downhill, baby.
You know what I mean? So, you know, so I wanted to celebrate that tradition in San Francisco. And I asked the center if they could, you know, would consider bringing a ramp inside a concert hall. And so we did. We worked with this this great ramp maker named George Rocha. And we worked with a great a skate shop named FTC. And we got skaters and we got a band. We brought this ramp into the concert hall. And there we were, kind of having a session together. But when I started working at the Kennedy Center, I was like, but we have way more real estate out here at the Kennedy Center, like this. Mm-hmm. These beautiful plazas and these beautiful marble walls. And, you know, there's so much space to make, you know, kind of this go a lot further, because I always envisioned it as an outdoor event, you know, a place where you could use the space and use the air, you know. And so when I proposed it a couple of years ago, it took a long time to, I would say, two and a half years. for us to kind of get it all the way. But this is like enormous. It's way larger than I ever expected it would be. You know, like a 2-week kind of a skate session, lots of bands, you know, lots of discussions, lots of, you know, exhibitions. And that kind of gets at, you know, what I think that community offers, not only the skating community, but the music community that supports the skating community. And so all these creative people together, you know, it should be a really beautiful thing. So we have a great ramp designer, Ben Ashworth, and he has created this amazing bowl and also these other ramps on the sides and a stage space for the bands. And it takes place outside the doors, you know, okay. In the air.
Okay.
So this is brand new for a lot of people. For the people who will be showing up for the orchestra, they will have to see a skate ramp for a couple of weeks.
I love it.
And the skaters will have to see some violins going every once in a while. So this is taking place outside, and there are there's open sessions, open skate sessions for people. Of course, you have to sign away your life to get on those if you want to skate. But there are open sessions, and then there's bands playing each evening too. So it should be a really thick event that I'm sure will build momentum as it continues to go.
And so those bands that are playing each evening, they'll be outside with the skate ramp?
Yes. Yeah, they're going to be outside. Yeah.
Playing while...
This is just also these are like, you know, high school fantasies, you know.
Right, yeah.
that I'm living out, you know. mostly because I also know that a lot of young people out here who are into sports and especially into skating, you know, have a lot of other passions as well. And I'm kind of really also interested in how music intersects those people, you know, those kinds of listeners, those kind of casual listeners who may not necessarily go to a concert, but I think we still have a lot to discuss as far as how the music is perceived and what the power of the music is for people who move their bodies to it, whether they're doing, you know, exercise or skating or writing, you know, how music fuels those thoughts. And this is one of those intersections.
And talk a little more about, I mean, you've alluded to it, but talk a little more about the crossover there of maybe bringing in different crowds. You know, you might get sports crowd who is not even exposed to maybe jazz music, or vice versa. You have people that would want to show up for the music that might get turned on to the sports crowd with the skating. Talk about how you might be able to open people's minds to, you know, jocks versus jazz and do a little crossover there.
Right. You know, I always think that there's something innate in everyone about how we feel rhythm. And rhythm marks the time. You know, if there was a drum beat playing behind our conversation, all of a sudden our conversation would feel like a song. You know,
Wait, I hear that. You don't hear the beat? I hear the beat.
You know, so that kind of thing happens with music too. So I'm looking at kind of like the everyday. You know, so here are a bunch of skateboarders, mm-hmm. and the everyday relationship that they have with tempo and with rhythm, you know, and how their boards and how the you know, when their board slaps against the ramp or the wheels hit the ramp or hit the ground, mm-hmm. and what that sound is also part of the orchestra as far as I'm considered.
Ah.
And so that sound is all a part of, you know, how we play too and how we listen. We listen to everything as musicians. And so, you know, it's more looking at it like sometimes I think people, especially coming to a place like the Kennedy Center, which is such a refined space presenting some of the, you know, the best that the art, you know, mm-hmm. and performing arts has to offer of the world. You know, sometimes we feel a little bit intimidated by those spaces, you know, mm-hmm. this beautiful, you know, white building with very tall ceilings that represents the country and also the world. Then where is our place in that, mm-hmm. you know? And, I think for a form like skating, which kind of has had such a beautiful home here in America and its relationship to kind of cutting edge music, that there is a conversation that we can have about it and that we can actually think about it for a couple of weeks together, not only as musicians with skaters, but and with our audience as well. And so an audience can come and kind of try to find those parallels. And they don't have to find the parallel that I'm thinking about, but they may find their own parallel with how the two things work together.
I love it. Walk me through, you know, let's say one of our listeners hears this interview and they say, that sounds awesome. I'm going to go check that out. So when they walk up to, you know, outside the Kennedy Center to where you have this space set up, what exactly are they going to see and what can they do and participate, you know, just kind of break it down. What exactly that experience is going to be like?
Well, I'm still waiting to see what that experience is going to be like. I wish I could tell you. You know, the thing that I always like to tell audiences is to, you know, if you know that this is an event that kind of aims to connect to connect the relationship between music and movement. I say it that way, rather than skateboarding, but music and movement. And so when you walk up to the Kennedy Center, and you stand outside and you see all of a sudden a congregation of skaters and a congregation of musicians, you know, kind of playing off of each other, then it's something to observe casually. Like, this is a very casual kind of 2 weeks. This is not buttoned up. This is very loose. This is very improvisational. It's very reactionary, you know. And in that way, you kind of can come with very little expectation because it's such a new thing that you may want to experience.
Right.
And so if you show up with very little kind of in mind about what it's actually going to be, I mean, I'll tell you what it's not going to be. It's not going to be like X Games. There's not going to be any commercial breaks. And there's not going to be any awards given for the highest jump. There's
right.
none of that. This is more about the craft and about how we work on music and how they work on moves to and tricks together. It's how that works. And I consider it like a jam session,
right.
a jam session between skaters and musicians. And the audience kind of gets to come be a part of this casual jam session, which happens all over the world, kind of in informal settings. But now we're making it a quasi-formal setting in front of the Kennedy Center.
More of a jam session than X Games. There's no awards. Even if you leap over the Kennedy Center and ramp over the Potomac, you know, you're not getting anything. So keep that in mind.
Yeah.
How did you go about, you know, drafting the musicians and the skateboarders? Like, who will be playing in the bands?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different bands playing. And, you know, I left it also up to the different skate crews from D.C. that are a part of this event and up to Ben Ashworth, who is my kind of co-creator of this festival, and so they had a discussion about like kind of what bands they had also been working with, which bands that they thought would fit each kind of skate crew, and then I'm coming in on the final two nights to perform with my band, just to kind of get my own jab at what it feels like to do this in front of the Kennedy Center.
What's your band's name?
My band's name is The Bandwagon.
Love it.
And that's the only event that's a ticketed event. All the other events are free for those 2 weeks. So it's a lot of different crews, different rock and punk bands. There's a Cuban band by Pedrito Martinez that will come. So it's a good mix of groups.
Are they all DC bands or are they from all over?
They're mostly DC bands, yeah.
Okay. Awesome. And then in terms of the skateboarders, do you know how you guys chose who was going to actually be out there on the boards?
Yes. So a lot of some of the skaters that I chose for my segment, I had worked with in San Francisco before. And these are some legendary people. There's a guy named Ron Allen, who's kind of, you know, is what they term an OG of skating. He and another one, Ray Barbie, will join us as among many others. And also what I was looking for in some of the skaters is there are skaters who are also musicians. There was this other thread where skaters who love music so much that they couldn't temper it anymore, and they decided to pick up a guitar or pick up the drums or pick up the bass or start rapping or whatever. And so what we also have set up is for some of those skaters like Chuck Trees from Philly or Ray Barbie or Ron Allen, at any point that they feel ready, they can step off their board and then come on to the bandstand with us and play with us. And so there's that relationship that I also wanted to pull out because some of the great skaters are also musicians and are really open to kind of improvising in that way too. Much more open than I am to jump on the ramp with them. You know,
we're not going to see that.
You are not going to see that. You're not. My hands are not insured yet. I need to do that.
Oh, that's hilarious. Before we wrap up, you know, you talked about how kind of this whole phenomenon with skating and even jazz and hip hop crossover really exploded in the 80s and then in even through the 90s and then probably even the early 2000s, I want to say. I mean, because the Tony Hawk and X Games and all that got really big. Even a lot of those crazy guys, like those jackass guys, got started doing skate videos set to music and stuff. The Bam Margeras and those guys.
Exactly.
So there was definitely a definitive window there. What is the state of that today? I mean, I obviously haven't kind of followed it in recent years, but I remember that window really well. But is it still a thriving culture? I still see kids skating down D.C.'s Chinatown by the library all the time, so I guess it's still going strong.
Yeah, you know, and the beautiful thing about it, which I think is similar to jazz, is you will see it in pockets, you know. You'll see pockets of people kind of skating, or you'll understand that each city has its own small jazz community of players that kind of get together and have these private sessions. And sometimes it's not as kind of apparent to the naked eye as they kind of travel through their day. But it's a global thing now, you know, so there's people in France and there's people in Tokyo and there's people in Australia. And these skaters are also traveling kind of all around the world, finding these great skate destinations. And that part is kind of very similar to what a jazz musician may have never considered. Is like, okay, well, I practiced piano when I was 15 and 20, but would I anticipate that this piano would actually be my passport to the rest of the world? It would be the thing that will connect me with all these different people and cultures and audiences.
Right.
And so a skateboard is in the similar way. It started to do that. And I think one of the beautiful parts about skating is that the cost is pretty low, you know, to actually skate. You know, until you break your board, then you have to get another one. But it keeps the door open. You know, it's not like golf, which you have to buy some very expensive clubs and then go play at a course, and that costs money. Then you have to buy balls. You know, like this constant kind of rotation of costs.
Even football or baseball, you need to have, you know, you need all the equipment. You need a glove. You need a bat. You know, skating is very minimal in that way.
Yeah, and what skaters do is they rely on the landscape. You know, and that's a beautiful part of kind of reconsidering what has been made. So they reconsider what the picnic table is used for, or they reconsider what a curb is used for.
The railing up the stairway. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So all those things have double uses or triple uses, and they kind of like go through life like looking at every surface like, oh. And I think to a degree many of those skaters are like, oh, I've looked at the Kennedy Center for years and thought, oh, wouldn't it be great? And then now here they are. We have set up a space for them.
But that's true. That's almost where the art comes in, because skaters, who you would think, you know, more of a lowbrow type activity, But really, the way they're examining the lines and the angles and of, you know, let's say a staircase and basically just this new way of seeing the world around you, it's very artistic. It's almost like a cinematographer, how they would compose a shot, you know, like, and I think that's where the crossover between the highbrow and the lowbrow comes in. And so I'm totally geeking out on this concept. It's great.
It's a real thing. You know, one of the skaters in San Francisco said, well, you know, before today, you may have considered, you know, if someone asked you, is jazz an art form? You know, most people would probably say, yes, it is. And if you would have asked them, is skateboarding an art form? Well, they'd have to think about that for a second.
Right.
But I think, like, after audiences watch, you know, what happens with skaters and the community and the kind of support each one gives each other, then you notice that this is a serious, serious form. And that's a beautiful thing to be a part of.
Well, it's fantastic. I love the concept that you guys are, you know, might be bringing in, you know, crossing different crowds, highbrow, lowbrow, skaters, jazz fans, everything. It's going to be this great confluence of different forms, both sport and music and art, and it just sounds like a great idea. So hats off to you, sir, and Ben, your co-creator, for coming up with this thing. It's an awesome idea.
Yeah, it will be a lot of fun.
Awesome. So just to remind everybody, it's called Finding a Line, Skateboarding Music and Media, and it runs September 4th through the 13th. It's free to everybody except for your final show, right? That's ticketed, right? I assume they can get it on the Kennedy Center's website.
Correct.
Jason, thanks so much for taking the time out to talk with us, and we'll see you down here in a couple days.
All right. See you. Thank you.